Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
My team is not like a box of chocolates. I do know what I'm going to get. And that's 6 clean sheets out of 7.
Let's go!
Let's go! And I understand it, planet-demic like I'm Goku.
And I understand it, planet-demic like I'm Goku. Well,
did you see this, Nathan? Did you see Neil Warnock?
I did. I love it. I love me some Warnock. I mean, you need a character. That's the beauty of but I mean, technically he's like the all-time championship manager, but I feel like you need characters like that in the game. So I'm all for his the crazy things he says and does. I love it. And maybe, good reference, you know, there. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, a great reference. Maybe he's just a huge Tom Hanks head, you know? He's like, he's seen the whole library. He knows his entire filmography, and who knows, maybe he'll be talking to a beach ball the next press conference.
I love it.
There'll be a little redhead kid who's going to talk like Will Warnock. No Warnock. We'll see.
I love it. Shout out to Warnock. Also, there's a podcast I started listening to. I didn't actually go that far in it. I guess I got bored of it, but it's a story of like an actor who got cut from Band of Brothers by Tom Hanks because Tom Hanks didn't like the way his eyes looked, something weird like that. And anyway, it's an interesting kind of a funny pod, but I don't know. I should pick it back up. Anyway, I forget the name of. Oh, yeah. Dead Eyes.
You got me interested. Dead Eyes.
It's called Dead Eyes because Tom Hanks claimed that the guy had dead eyes, and so they had to recast the part. And the guy has been like traumatized ever since 20 years ago that he was called Dead Eyes. But it's good. He's like a comedian. Yeah. The guy who does. Anyway. Okay. All right. That's whatever. Nobody cares about that. Let's get back to Forest Green Rovers. I mean, how are we feeling?
I mean, hey, it might be a better podcast than this. So I'm glad you shouted that. But I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great, Nathan. Like, man, the team just feels like it's on a roll. Like, we gutted out a win over the weekend.
Yes.
Against Scunthorpe. The Scunnies.
Scunny. The Iron. Oyen. Oy. It's the Oyen.
The Oyen.
No, I totally agree, man. I don't care that they're last in the table. Like, I felt like this, you know, as they say in the UK, this could have been a banana skin game or banana peel game. Because last year we really struggled with bottom, you know, teams in the bottom half. And so I was worried. I was worried that this could be another one of those games, kind of a trap game on the road. A lot of pressure because it's the worst team in the league, so there's a lot of pressure on you. So even though it wasn't the best performance we've ever seen, so happy we kept the clean sheet. So happy we came in with the 3 points. That's all that matters at the end of the day. It's a long season. We will take it. And we'll talk more about the game and everything with Billy Hunt. But brief thoughts. I'm ecstatic. I'm so happy that we got the win. We got the clean sheet. And we roll on to Leighton Orient either.
Yes.
Tomorrow or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this, or maybe it was yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. So late
space time is a weird thing. So let us know.
And we talk a little bit about space and time and philosophy with Billy Hunt in a little bit. Anyway, back to business. So Leighton Orient tonight, not tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Who knows when you're listening?
Tuesday night.
Away. It either already happened or it's about to happen. Big matchup. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the very end. But shout out to everyone who's going. I'm in a WhatsApp group. Actually, it was a WhatsApp group created in honor of Sean Baker, who was kicked off Twitter. So it's the only way to communicate with Sean Baker. And they were all talking about how to get to Leighton Orient, because apparently there's congestion pricing in London, and different parts of London have different. Anyway, so it's really interesting. Right. I'm like super fascinated because they're like, some people are like, oh, park at Heathrow and then take the tube. Other people are like, oh, you park at, I don't know, some Tesco, and then you take whatever. It's interesting. It was fascinating.
Yeah,
but anyway.
The logistics of an away day.
Yes.
Or so wait, is that
the team coach?
Yeah, take the team coach. Right. Yeah, that's the way to go.
The supporters
coach. Go in solidarity. Yeah.
That's right.
I was wondering if Sean Baker trying to get on WhatsApp is what made it crash last week. Did those things sync up? Is that what happened? He got banned from Twitter, and then trying to get Sean Baker on WhatsApp is what caused Facebook to crash.
Yes. I think it was, who was it? Was it Ryan Griffin? I think it was who, when last week when WhatsApp was down and Facebook was down and Twitter. Oh, he
Instagram,
was already banned
right?
from Twitter. Yeah. He was like, how do we get in touch with Sean Baker? There's no way to reach him now. He's either banned on all the social media. Anyway, back to business here. Back to business. We're getting off track. You've been in a strip for the rough step bump. Hit a bump, get a jump, get the big pop. pod today, Shimmy. Big pod. Here's why, Shimmy. We have the voice of the Forest Green Rovers, the son of legendary Bob Hunt, a Forest Green Rovers legend in his own right, the Argy Bargy assassin.
A legendary salmon shorts wearer.
The Sultan of Salmon Shorts, known as Spilly Billy for his frequent hot beverage spills in the booth. We have on Billy Hunt, baby. Let's go, Billy Hunt.
So excited. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man, he's so fun to talk to. We talk a lot of FGR, more than what I expected us to talk about, which was good, I guess, since it's an FGR pod. But we talk a lot about FGR.
Well, it helps when you have one person who really knows what they're talking about. So Billy played that role very nicely.
That's true. So awesome little chat with our guy Billy, and then we close it off with a We had to put Billy to the test. Billy's been off 2 games after Leighton Orient. It will actually be 3 games that he's been not on the call. He's going to be back for Salford City on Saturday. So we had to kind of warm up the pipes, get him in the mode. So we did a fun little game that's going to be awful for podcast because it's all video related. It requires a lot of visuals. So terrible podcasting, as well. That's what you've come to expect from the Heaven's Devils podcast. But very funny video. We'll put it out later, and you'll hear the audio of it, but it's not going to have the same effect until you see the video. So we'll put out the video as soon as we can. But anyway, it's Billy Hunt commentating on FIFA glitches and ice hockey, the NHL. So incredible stuff. He's a pro, a pro's pro. He was amazing.
Yeah, he proves it. He shows out, man. He really showed out. We were amazing.
Oh yeah, with no like prep, no warning. We just like Billy. We're going to play a video now. We played it, and boom, he just took off. It was hilarious. He was brilliant. Love Billy Hunt. And also, I should say a little warning. Shams' volume is like crazy high, and I didn't notice it until too late. So you can hear every mumble, every breath that Shams takes. I'm going to try to like cut as much of it as I can.
It's riveting listening, I'm sure.
I'm going to try to cut out as much of it as I can, but we'll see. We'll see, Alan. But anyway, you're going to...
I say roll with it. I say roll with it, and it's our you know, Halloween spooky version. I'm like the caller at the other end of the line, just slowly breathing into the pod, phoning into the pod.
So. Or if you're listening, that's what we're going walking with. Walking on the street, it'll sound like there's a creepy man just like breathing on your neck, following you everywhere you go. That's Sean.
And I'll consider my job done then. So, job done.
So, also, Sham, shout out to you. So, I posted this on Twitter and Instagram just now, but looking sharp, Shimmy. Tell people what you're wearing.
Hey, you know, I had to rock. It's finally a beautiful fall day here. We've had a lot of stops and starts. It was like 75 degrees a couple days ago. It was wild.
Yes.
But finally, we had a beautiful autumn day. And so, I had to rock the FGR coat. The gloss raincoat and the nice FGR scarf, the zebra scarf, baby.
It looks so good, Shimmy. I love that you were the best looking man in New York City today. And I gotta say, Shimmy,
I gotta say the coat and the scarf are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. I'm no drippy dom, but I tried today.
And I gotta say I'm dying to get the training kits. I love those, the long sleeve and the short sleeve. Yeah. I want them both. Yeah. This weekend when we watched with our buddy Ben, originally from SLAD, he bought both, won them both, and I need that super dry sweatshirt, Shimmy. But anyway.
Oh, I know. So good. They look so good.
Oh, they're fire. Anyway, we got to shut up. Let's get to Billy Hunt.
Before we get to Billy, let's not shut up because we're ramblers, right?
Yes.
But shout out men. to the FGR ladies as well, the FGR women.
Yes!
Also on the roll.
Shimmy.
You know, it is her game too. They're rocking the patch, rocking the sponsorship. Just love their success as of late.
Shimmy, you crazy man. I meant to say that, actually, and I have it written down here as a note, and I completely slipped my mind. So thank goodness you're here. See, look at that. Dress well, pod well, Shimmy. That's what we pay you the big bucks for. Shout out to, yes, thank you, Shimmy. The FGR women who absolutely, they demolished the other ladies in green, even though they didn't wear green, they wore blue or something. But Longwell Green, the Battle of the Greens, Forest Green versus Longwell Green. Forest Green Rovers won 3-1. Charlie Rollins with another goal. Hattie Jones.
Insane.
Oh, Hattie Jones does the score goals. Hattie Jones, this is a fact. Hattie Jones has scored in every FGR women's match that's ever been played. And then Rosie Dimery also got on the score sheet. So big, shimmy. How could I be so stupid just to forget to mention that? So yeah, big shout out to the women. Thank you, Sean, for reminding me. And sure.
We have to. Oh man, I know we interviewed Charlie, right? A couple weeks ago. Get a chance to talk to Charlie?
No, not yet, but we're going to.
Not yet, okay. Hopefully. We're going to. Okay. We gotta
run it by the club first, clear it all, make it official. But definitely need to talk to some people. Charlie is great because she's an OG FGR fan. But yeah, we're gonna talk to somebody soon. Maybe a few people, and we gotta get Chris Hicks on too. Well, hopefully they'll agree to talk to us. I guess I should say none of these people have agreed to come on the pod, but and they may not even know of our existence. But we want to talk to them. I don't know if they want to talk to us. Anyway, we got to get them on because they're doing amazing things.
We got to hear from them because that's the one thing I sort of regret is that we don't actually get to see them week in and week out unless you're there and can go to the matches. So,
yes.
Man, looking forward to making that happen. And a weird sort of thing, because we can't watch them and all I see is the scores on Twitter, and I see Charlie Rowland's name a lot, I always just think of that Kanye West song, Power, where they mentioned Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's not a family-friendly lyric. What's that?
So maybe they're related.
Maybe they're related.
We'll ask her when she's on. Oh, if she'll come on.
She's one of Destiny's children who is going to lead FGR.
But you're right, Shimmy. We need. If anyone from FGR is listening, pause or cover your ears right now. We should get either Ollie Smith, who covers all the games, amazing job Ollie does covering the women's game. Also, he just does an amazing job covering both the men and the women on the Pod on Top of the Hill. So shout out to the Pod on Top of the Hill. Shout out Ollie Laurie. But anyway, we need to either get Ollie or our man Statman, who also goes to the women's games, to just like illegally live stream it from the sideline, and then we'll watch that way. Okay, if anyone from FGR, you can re-begin listening now.
Yeah. Nothing illegal was just mentioned.
No. All right, we got to get rolling here. Let's do a quick, like, two-minute intro and then get straight to Billy. And I'm looking at the clock here, and it says we are 12 minutes in. So let's get moving.
Let's go. First,
before we get to Billy, we got Kip Kowalski, Tony Graw, and another Billy Bob, on the call from Scunthorpe. So let's head to them really quick. Here we go. Kip Kowalski, go. Kip Kowalski here, and I am joined by the Bayou baby, Tony Graw.
Bonjour.
And guest commentator, Billy Bob.
Hiya.
We go to the beautiful English wine country of Scunthorpe, home of steel mills, clouds, and the iron. Take it away, Billy.
We go on the 15th minute where Ryan Mark Sufflaw fires a floppy disk and loop to kill Bill Gates, but feels deep frustration as his common computer randomly shuts off and auto updates for an hour. He didn't save any of his flies, but luckily Luke was there to make the save. Saved by the Bills, still 0-0.
To the Caron minute, and Rovers almost broke the deadlock. 9 minutes before halftime, when T.E. Boo Adams, glancing ahead of Spunk back into play off the post. Mon Dieu, so close.
Moving and grooving to the hour mark when J. Death Row Records fouls Dr. J. Dre Jamil. Tupac is still alive. Tumat in a battle of East Coast versus West Coast. Tumat gets back on his feet and says, I ain't mad at ya, and steps up with all eyes on me to deliver the hole in one right past Rory McIlroy Watson. Makes me want to do a cartwheel, and the visiting fans break out into a Death Row Records classic led by Jake Wyman. If you know,
you
know what
I know, you don't want to step to this. The wrong man was there, with an eco-friendly twist.
If you support FGR
the season, then you highlight every day. And if your eyes commit Archie Barge, Jimmy Billy Hunt will red you lay.
That's some old school 90s West Coast hip hop references for you, folks. I'm sure very popular among our listening demographic in the Gloucestershire, England. Anyway, minutes later, the Rovers doubled their lead as Big Daddy Kane, Slick Willie Wilson, the smooth operator, took lessons he learned on the Heaven's Devils podcast. I've got a cat here on the window. On the Heaven's Devils podcast last week,
and passed a Wagamama vegan menu fueled barbecue glazed seitan served with a coconut sriracha vegan egg grilled shiitake mushroom asparagus crust into Ibu. It's Halloween spooky season, folks. Adam's family, who heads the ball past, as our Canadian friend would say, sorry, Rory Watson, 2-0 to the Robbers.
Along.
50 minutes. Billy Bob. 50 minutes of time, and the Iron finally got on the scoreboard. As Loft's excellent headed effort sails to the back of the net. Wait, what's that save? What an incredible save! The ball had enough spicy mass on it to make my morning trip to the toilet not so pleasant. But Lumpy comes up with a heroic muck stop and leads the Rovers to a downy, fresh, clean sheet. Sweet Mama come in dinner lane and place a salad for dinner and I come on my back. I'm being at the horse divorce course because we're top of the table, baby. Woo!
Kip, Billy, and Tony Graha. Shimmy, what'd you think?
Ooh, man, Billy Bob. It's a force to be Billy reckoned Bob. With. I thought Billy Hunt was good, but Billy Bob, man. Bring some of that down-home charm.
Yes, his American accent is very charming, and what was it about the spicy mustard and going to the toilet? I didn't catch that one, but anyway, big shout-out to Billy Bob on that one. Thank you for joining Kip and Tony. And speaking of Billys, let's get to the Billy, the number one Billy in our hearts, Spilly Billy Hunt. William Hunt, the voice of the Forest Green Rovers, an amazing chat with an amazing guy. I love Billy. How can you not love Billy? So anyway, let's just get into it. It's an awesome chat. We talk way more about Forest Green Rovers than I thought we would, which is awesome. let's get into it. We welcome back to the pod the voice of the Forest Green Rovers, the son of the legendary Bob Hunt, the Argy Bargy assassin himself, known as Spilly Billy for his frequent hot beverage spills in the booth, the Sultan of Salmon Shorts, Free Will Bill. As he ponders the age-old question of whether we have free will, or is it all just an illusion? Is life predetermined? Are our behaviors governed by internal and external forces over which we have no control? In the mathematical simulation Conway's Game of Life, the interaction of just four simple rules creates patterns that somehow seem alive, suggesting that determinism is real. Newtonian mechanics, quantum physics, they don't clear anything up, even further suggesting free will is an illusion. If everything is fated to happen, then humans have no control over their future, no control over their behaviors at this very moment. If we have no control, what's the point? What's the point? Why even do this? Welcome back to the pod, Billy Hunt!
Hey, Billy!
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Billy, good. Great! How are you feeling, brother?
That was some real Rob Edwards sort of insightful stuff, that, wasn't it?
yeah. I'm a little more depressed after that, Nathan, so thank you. Great way to kick off the week here.
Oh, well, Billy, man, always good to see you, Billy. Always good to see you. Happy birthday also to your daughter, celebrated 2 years old yesterday, right?
Yay.
2 years old, yeah. So I had a wedding on Saturday, which is why I couldn't go, pleasure going to Scunthorpe. Then I had her birthday as well on Sunday, yeah. So it's been a bit of a busy weekend. So unfortunately, missed some Forest Green action as well.
Well, you missed Forest Green action, and we have missed you, Billy. We have missed you on the call the last two games. Because I got to say, first of all, the sky coverage was not the same. The guy was super professional.
Polished, very polished. But
we need that. We need that personality. Like it brings so much life to the game. We love you and Ash just like absolutely murder it in the booth. We love it. Mm-hmm. And then the match against Scunthorpe also wasn't the same. Also, Ash's mic was like, I don't know what was up with his mic, but you could barely hear
it's coming
him.
In and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the end of the world.
No. but anyway, will you be back in the booth soon, Billy? Will you be back against Orient on Tuesday?
It's a trio now. I can't. I got work Wednesday morning, early door, so I can't even go Tuesday either. So I'll be watching it on the TV along with you guys. But Tuesday's the last one I can't go to. Then back to it on Saturday. Well, we got the game on Saturday, and then go to Bradford as well. So back to it. There's some long old trips and going back to it. But unfortunately, now I'm not going to be there again for a while. This is my only chance to make my voice heard for the next couple of weeks.
Oh. Well, and boy, did FCR you. Nation. You and Billy Bob have your voices heard prominently.
Well, FGR Nation misses you, Billy. We cannot wait for you to get back. Yeah. So Salford, it will be your first game back this Saturday, followed by Bradford, you said, right? Yeah, Bradford. I think that's, is that away or home?
Bradford's away. Away in London.
Oh,
night.
Awesome.
Wow.
That'd be such a cool game to go to. I feel like the stadium,
yeah.
It's like in the middle of like all these houses, and then it's just like giant.
I think they call it Wembley of the North. It's like this huge two-tiered stadium, and it's got like, what, 40,000 capacity.
Yeah,
and then like a couple of years ago, little old Forest Green rocked up there. They had about 15,000 people there and scored in the last minute, and just they were not happy. They lost to little Forest Green. You get a little less so now, but like last few years, like you go to these big grounds, and like playing Forest Green is kind of a bit of reality of where how far they've gone down. Obviously, credit to Forest Green, they've gone up, but like I remember, like went to Bolton at the last season, the first game of that season, and won there. I know there's no fans there, but you got these Premier League teams losing, so they think Little Forest Green on top of the hill, and it hurts them, which is, makes it even better, obviously.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I love the way you put that. Playing Forest Green is a sign of how far these other teams have fallen. That's the
way we sometimes feel that way. We sometimes feel that way when players and like Rob Edwards comes on the podcast.
The sign of how far. They join us. Oh, what does that say about you too, Billy? You're on this pod.
Slumming it.
Actually, first of all, what is your favorite ground, away ground to go to, Billy?
Oh, that's a good question. I like going to Carlisle away. That's a badge of honor for any fans or anyone. Like, because it's so far away. You can't regret going to Carlisle. The fans love it as well. If you go to Carlisle, you can say what you want about the Fulhams. In fact, on the way back from Carlisle, I was getting the train back. You know, I had to run to get the train in. I was soaking wet. And there was a Forest Green fan on the stage, and he went, "We are rubbish in the second half. We're never going to win the league like that." I was like, "We're top of the league. What are you on about?" And like, I'm thinking, you've kind of gone all the way to Carlisle on the train to get wet. We're afraid to watch Forest Green away. You can kind of say what you want, but honestly, I'll obviously get Wembley's an amazing stadium. You can see that. It's a big advantage to work at be at Wembley is the best. But I genuinely enjoy going to the little small grounds, like the FA Cup in a couple of weeks when you got Corinthian Casuals or St Albans City, one of those two grounds. Going to a little tiny ground where it just like it means so much to them. Can be better going to these big mains, the like big huge grounds. So I love any of the little grounds we go to, but yeah, you can't get away from Wembley.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the St. Albans ground, but the Corinthian Casuals ground looks incredible. The environment, the atmosphere looks great too. The fans are passionate. It's a tiny little place. I'm really rooting for that. I don't know anything about St. Albans or whatever it is, but I'm rooting for Corinthian Casuals, baby.
St. Albans, a similar ground, or St. Albans City. It's the smallest city in England. So, a little fact for you to start on your Wikipedia search.
Wow! All right, fair enough.
Are you? Do you have a preference between the two in the FA Cup?
Corinthian Casuals, definitely. They've got that heritage, haven't they? I think they're still only amateur team. Like they really like stick to like not paying those for years not paying players as well. I know they've got a decent working class background, which I get quite interested in. And the kit, as you said, playing, can you imagine that pink kit against our green and black kit?
I would love it.
The pink and chocolate kit, it's like I've never seen anything like it. I love everything about this club. And also from what I've seen online too, it's all like it's like a mix of colors there, because you have all the pink and chocolate from the local fans. But then I guess there's a bunch of Brazilian immigrants who live in London who support the club as well. And they all wear their Corinthians, but Brazil version Corinthian stuff. So they all are on the black and red. And it's just a crazy, cool, like little mix of culture and color and everything. I'm rooting for it, Billy.
One eye on the Leyton Orient game. Obviously, one eye on the big St. Albans City Corinthian Casuals FA Cup replay game.
No, I'm with you. I'm gonna be following along too. Rooting for Corinthian, and I think Corinthian are Casuals. They're a league below, or maybe two leagues below St. Albans, and such cool history. Started to like kind of evangelize football, you know, around the world. Inspired the creation of the Brazilian team, and our own Dan Sweeney started. That's where he got his start. Corinthian Casuals, so
got the connection.
Hardcore rooting for that. Plus London, I'm all in, man. And who knows if, depending on what day it is, Saturday or Sunday, and depending on flights, Sean, what if it? What, Sean? Let me propose a scenario. What if the flights are like $200 round trip to London? What do you say, Shimmy? A weekend, sure. Corinthian casuals.
Yeah, hey, if they're $200 round trip, you know, you know. What if I was 6'5"? I would probably try out for the NBA. Could happen though. I could still get my growth spurt in my mid-30s.
Well, let's talk about FGR a little bit, and then we have a little exercise we want to help you get warmed up for your first returning match on Saturday. But first, let's talk a little FGR, baby. So you were out against Scunthorpe. Were you able to catch the highlights at all, Billy?
Yeah, I've seen the highlights, obviously, the Luke McGee saves, and the Luke McGee must have been amazing. So obviously, look, we've looked at Matty Stevens, Jamil Matt, the first few games of the season, scoring all those goals. But the fact that like we've had so many clean sheets, just so many amazing, wonderful saves from Luke McGee, it seemed to be the show today. I don't think he's getting enough credit. I know we also talking about him a lot, but the fact that like obviously Jamil Matt won Player of the Season, Nicky Cannon won Player of the Season. I mean, it's going to be player of the month, not season, maybe. And it was not a few months ago.
It's coming. But, it's coming.
Yeah, but the fact that Luke McGee's obviously his defense in front of him. And they've lost, you know, Godwin Malise's been dropped out as well. They've chopped and changed a few things as well. But McGee's been amazing. And it showed again today as well. He's going to be a real game changer.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. Especially that first half when it seemed like we really struggled to get into gear in Scunthorpe. You know, I think relishing the challenge, they kind of stepped up their game a little bit. We needed a few kind of key touches from McGee and kind of like, you know, saves to keep us in the game.
Did you see as well, like it's a bizarre start, the fans had locked the gates beforehand. Have you seen that?
Yeah, the protests, yeah.
To open the gates. And I'm sure that bizarre sort of start might have galvanised the Scunthorpe like players and the fans even there. And you're right, they weathered the storm, got the 2-0, as they set a bit deep, and that's absolutely fine. It's the most important thing to get the 3 points, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man. So, yeah, the first half wasn't the prettiest half of football, but we felt confident second half once Jamma got the penalty. It was like, okay, we got this. And then put the, icing on the cake, vegan cake, Ibu, Kane Wilson. First of all, that cross from Kane Wilson. Oh,
and
unbelievable.
The footwork leading up to it, like the specialty too.
And then the Ibu finish just made the whole, the rest of the day pretty comfortable. I feel like it's a lot of pressure going up against the last place team when you're the first place team. I feel like it's like a surprising, I think you guys in the UK called a banana skin. Is that what you say?
Banana skin, yeah.
Yeah.
And you see that because when you're not favourites, you're the expectator to go there. And I say when you're top of the table, and Robert has alluded to it already, teams want to beat you. When you're top, I think they just put that extra little bit, especially their bottom, like, well, we've been written off, we're just going to give it a little bit more. And obviously, they're the most of the games of the season, Forest Green aren't going to be the underdogs. You know, British like to be underdogs, and so they're going to give an extra bit to it. And you're going to see teams just go a little bit more and give a bit more to try and beat, hopefully, top of the team for the rest of the season.
Yeah, man. So if we can, like, I feel like last year, maybe in past years too, we suck against teams at the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
And we kind of played down to the level of the competition.
Yeah.
And so it's been great to see us handle kind of the bad teams, of the league so far. The teams, I don't want to call them bad, but the teams, the bottom half of the table. Great. Even though it wasn't the best performance, great to see that we could go away to Scunthorpe. Take all 3 points. Like you said, that's all that matters.
Like another cliche as well, isn't it? That if you win without playing well, it's a sign of a good team, which obviously Forest Green League, you can see that, you know, they can play a lot better, but they don't play well and still win and get 3 points, then you know you're going to go places.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Reassuring. So reassuring.
And actually, on that note, I want to hear your thoughts a little bit about us going places. So we're now officially a quarter of the way through the season. We're averaging 2.17 points per game. If we continue at exactly this pace, we'll end up with 99.82 points, basically 100 points, which would be a ridiculous, ridiculous year. I think the last team to do that in League 2 were Northampton, 99 points in the 2015-2016 season. So, Billy, my question is, do you think we can keep this run going and win the league? Give me your confidence level, 1 through 10, 10 being guaranteed we're winning, 1, absolutely no confidence. Where are you at right now and why?
I'd give it an 8 because as of the moment we're doing amazing. There's again, you don't want to be negative, but a few things first of all. Obviously, we've been here before. Forest Green fans know full well that come Christmas time they've been top of the table and it's peeled away. So yes, they're doing great at the moment, but it is only quarter of the season. And obviously January is going to be a concern because we've got so many good players at the moment. And when the transfer window opens, you saw last season when we lost Carl Winchester.
Winchester, yeah.
Well, it did disrupt things. So like Nicky Cadden was doing so well in August, I was genuinely scared that someone would like, you know,
same.
It was just, you know, it was relief that he's going to be there for a while. But these players doing so well, come January, I know you can strengthen, you can bring people in, but if you've got such a good core, which Edwards has got, and then people taking one player can really disrupt things. So I think maybe come the end of January, you got your Christmas period out the way, got your, you know, the January transfer window as well, see where we are then it'll be wrapped up to 9 or 10 if we still are where we are. And also the other thing as well is that Edwards is such a good manager.
Yeah.
Once people start sacking other managers, they'll start looking at, the team at the top of League Two, they're doing pretty good with a bit of an unknown manager. And it's just the skill. I know he's got his contract, and it's something that you couldn't really imagine under Kamar Cooper. Not many managers were going to be, people going to be swooping in for him. But the fact we've got a very good young British manager is concerning when teams start sacking people and they're going to be looking at him.
100%. I'm so worried about both of those things. Like, I'm so worried, one, we're going to lose our whole team in January, and two, like you said, when some bigger club sacks their manager, Rob Edwards is going to be a name on everyone's lips. He's been so brilliant so far on the pitch, and then off the pitch, he's just such a likable guy.
And becoming a fan favorite, right?
It's like the perfect fit. Yeah, it's such a perfect fit, and so I'm super worried about that, like you said, Billy.
Yeah.
Who do you think would be is our biggest risk, like player wise? Who do you think is the biggest risk of us losing in January?
Yeah, you look at, obviously you got Max Stevens is on his last year of contract, isn't it? So it's one of those, like, if he's gonna go, do you try and get a bit of money for him? But Forest Green aren't really traditionally a selling club. They seem to be more of a team like that when the players want to go to a higher level, like the Winchesters and the Kitchens. I think Licky Cadden's obviously the one, a young guy as well, from Scotland as well. I know he settled down here last season, also during lockdown. I think he was struggling a bit, you know, he was living alone in Swindon all by himself, but now I think he's moved his family, or certainly his partner's been moved down to Gloucestershire way. So obviously hopefully it'll be nice, hopefully he's got like a 25 year mortgage or something really quite minded.
Put down those roots.
So I think you look at this wing backs, Kane as well, you talked to last week. Hopefully, I think Jamil Matt, I think he seems quite settled here, but like you've got these, you're certainly the younger players who like, you think, well, if they're going to go to a higher club, why stop them? The only good thing, of course, is Forfeit. They're going to have to, it'd have to be Championship or better, because you'd hope there's no point of going to a League One team, because Forest Green will be in League One next season. So
exactly.
So it'd have to be a decent Championship club. But then again, if you're a part of a settled team, why would you not want to stay? But you see with these Wrexham, I'm not sure you've seen, you guys, you know, Ryan Reynolds and Wrexham, all that, they've come in.
Our old buddies. Hang out all the time.
Huge money they've come in for, and you can't, like, a player like, I know they're a professional footballer, they're not getting as much as the Premier League players. If you're offered a ridiculous amount of money to play at Wrexham a few leagues below, you'd rightly take it. End of the day, you've got families to feed and all that. Like, we're Lord of Forest Green, no matter what, we can't be taken away from money, but the players can do, and you can't deny that they want more money, then it's the right thing to do for their family.
Absolutely, and right thing to do for their family and also for their career, like some of these young guys. So yeah, you make some good points. I hope you're right about Nicky. I didn't realize like he moved, you know, his partner down, and that's a great sign. You know, I've been worried about Nicky, been worried about Kane, worried about Doakes, although I think the injury, which is sad, really sad for Doakes, but that might keep him here a bit longer, because he hasn't really had a chance to play and show himself. But yeah, man, we have so many good players that are capable of playing at a high level, which I guess why we're, you know, top of the league. My theory, or my belief, my strategy, if I were to talk to Rob Edwards, I would say, Rob, just get a massive lead right before January. That way when we lose everybody, we can lose the rest of the games. We'll be all right. We'll still get promoted. But actually, on that note, so an average of 82.4 points gets you promoted over the last five seasons. So we need 56.4 points over the remaining 34 games. So that's an average of 1.66 points per game. So I want to hear what is your confidence for that? So you gave us the confidence 8 out of 10 for winning the league. How about confidence for promotion in averaging just 1.66 points the rest of the way?
Again, that would go up to a 9. You want to go straight away for a 10, but you're right. Because there's 3 go up in League 2, then I'm not going to say it's easy to go up, because that's what Dale did a few years ago and it gets quoted to him all the time. But compared to like the National League below, where only one team goes up automatically, you've got 3 teams going up automatically there. So it'll be amazing to win the league. You know, you get the trophy and all that. But you take promotion all day long, and you're right. You just, you know, hopefully, again, with the 3 going up, it's looking, you know, there's a bit of a gap between there where they are with the top 3. You'd really hope they get automatic, but so much can go wrong. You know, you lose 4 games in a row, and suddenly everything can go wrong. You can go downhill. So you've got the confidence, momentum to re-go things as well. So it's very easy to say things are looking good at the moment, but it just takes a few losses. Forest Green haven't had this season. But they've only had a few more in a row, and just it can get nervy.
Yeah, we experienced last season too, right?
Right.
That huge slump.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. We were grateful for playoffs in the end, weren't we? So it's just a shame that happened there. But so, you know, anything can happen. So look, we'll maybe in January time, I think we'll hopefully get to the 10 levels of confidence. But you know, it's all about just all he's trying to do, because you've got so many press talking to him now. You see it, just trying to manage expectations, because he knows that look, they're doing very well, but it's such early days, and you're only a few defeats from slipping away.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty confident we're not going to have a collapse like we've had the last several years, because of Rob, because of this core. But again, injuries. Who knows who we're going to lose in January? Could all change. But what do you think so far is the biggest difference between last season and this season, Billy?
Well, there's an obvious difference there, isn't there, of the man in charge, isn't there? So we had Mark Cooper last season, and you've obviously got Rob Edwards this season. And the fact that it's really, in terms of the core starting 11, it's only 2 players of Hendry and Stevenson who are starting, the regular starters, who weren't starting last season. So you've got the same players there, and without the manager, and like you talk to the players as well, and they're so without, they've got obviously they toe the press, they're well trained, they toe the party line of not slating Mark Cooper too much, but you can just tell that the confidence is there. Like even talking to Matty Stevens when you talked to him the other week, he knew that he had to score in the first half, otherwise he'd be dropped, whereas now it's just, he knew he had faith behind him if he didn't score. And you can see that all through the team, it's just that whole confidence that they're not going to be sold out in the press. You know, Mark Cooper would be quick to point fingers and say that's someone's fault, that's someone's fault. He wouldn't really now. Rob Edwards, who just has the whole confidence in the team as well, and he backs him as well, and he's a real good people manager. And I just think that's something which Cooper maybe struggled with. Well, I remember talking to Cooper a few years ago, like main part of the job now is managing egos a bit and managing the personalities in the changing room. It's not necessarily, you know, you've got the people side of things instead of the tactical side of things. And just Rob Edwards just does that so well. Like, I remember people saying about Mark Cooper, he's the best manager in the best coach in the league, the worst manager. And you can see that. Yeah. So tactically, very, very good. But the people skills, just one thing. You see that, you know, he's something with the press as well. It's real frosty, hard to talk to, where Rob's a delight to talk to. Again, like talking to Nicky Cadden and Scotland the other day, where we were in Carlisle. We had to talk to Nicky quickly and get an interview. Rob allowed him to go home for 2 or 3 days. He said, you're pretty much in Scotland. Off you go. I trust you. You know, you're not going to do anything stupid. Join us in a few days' time. But I'm sure about stuff. Just a lot, you know, really galvanize the player. They get trusted a bit. You can just see that they, you know, there's the faith there. Again, it's very easy to say that when they're winning as well and things can go downhill. But you can just certainly tell that the manager's made it. Look, that's the variable, isn't it? That the variable is that that Rob Edwards is the manager now. Mark Cooper's not, and Forest Green are doing very, very well.
Oh yeah, you hit the nail. I agree with you. I think every fan would agree with you. You know, I love what you said there too. You know, Mark Cooper's best coach in the league, the worst manager. I think that's, you know, from everything we've heard from fans, things we've gathered from ex coaches who've worked with him. I won't name names, but I guess we only had one on the pod, so you can draw conclusions from there. And just like you know, actually, a player I will say has never said a bad thing about Mark, but they might also just being, you know, they might just be being professional, very professional, because, you know, we do have a bunch of great guys, very, you know, constant professionals. Anyway, Billy, just a couple more questions, and then we got to do a quick game, and then and then get out
just
of here.
A, not just a quick game, a quick warm up. And just a quick question, just to follow up real quick, Billy, do you think that Rob Edwards' time with the England youth kind of setup has like helped him manage kind of young egos? Because it seems like, technically speaking, younger players are pretty good. You know, we see it in the team and how technically well they play. But do you think it's a special sort of thing to manage those young players?
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, and it must be even harder because if you're managing England young players, they've got the potential to go a lot, you know, higher, and they probably will be. Whereas in Forest Green, you've obviously got egos, and it maybe is a bit harder because you've got egos who think they're very good, and maybe they need putting down a few pegs. So yeah, absolutely, and you would have learned so much on these England days. You can just tell from the, you know, very much, and media as well. You can just tell that he just deals with all the questions so well. You know, any sort of criticism or anything, you know, he just wipes it. And sometimes the media training can be a bit mundane as well. You know, I know the interviews with Cooper, always some of the written journalists always enjoyed, like, he'd put out a decent quote and it'll get a good headline. You can write about that, you're not going to get that from Rob Edwards, but you can just learn everything that he's just so professional. And, yeah, credit to him, he's very, very much like Southgate, and you can tell it's all been taught from those days.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
So Billy, player of the season, 12 games in. Who's your player of the season, 12 games in?
I'm going to get to Luke McGee. Because he has been amazing. Yeah, I know Thomas has been equally amazing. Those cup games, obviously, we had the Bristol City saves and all that. But McGee, the saves he's made, you know, they've just been amazing. There have been so many clean sheets in as well. I know a lot of credit to the defence, that, but he's had to make some saves as well. And he's really kept in those games. Sometimes when it's been 0-0, one goal can change everything. And last McGee saves it, and then they go the other end. You saw that against Swindon, where we missed a chance with some really, really good saves from Ward, the ex and Forest greenkeeper, and they scored a minute later. So not enough credit, I think, always goes to goalkeepers. And at the moment, yes, look, Jamil Matt's been amazing, Matt's team's been amazing, Cadden as well, but I think a lot of credit's got to go to Luke McGee, because he's done his job so, so well, and Forest Green needed him.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You know, we've noticed, like, the first 15 minutes, Forest Green have been crap, like, every match. And that's when we've needed, you know, that's when Luke McGee has really bailed us out. And it just, you know, changes the whole landscape of the game if the away team gets an opening goal early. Then, so anyway, I love that. It's a great shout, and I don't know.
Really,
I think you're spot on.
A really nice guy, and we had it'd be great for you to talk to that someone's going on the pod. But we had a partner was at the game the other day, and he's got a young child, like a and they were watching as well. So the partner and the kid was watching the game and seeing his dad do these saves, and really nice. Yeah. His father, then Luke's good father, was there as well. And sorry, I know I'm going on a bit, but the back end of last season, so it was the last, the Newport game, wasn't it? The Newport game, obviously, that amazing game, you know, 120 minutes, because in the last minute. After that, there was the players, and obviously Jimmy Ball as well, and we got, me and Ash had to pop home, got invited for a drink with the players in the bar after, and they had some vegan American beer.
Let's go!
I'm not sure where they got a crate of that from. And Luke McGee was just genuinely nice. Obviously, you could tell they would have all been gutted. He just conceded in the last minute against and they were to get again. But genuine nice, kind of decent chat, you know, shaking hands. And all the players then after that game were just, this was obviously done to Jimmy Ball, just exhausted but positive. And I think, again, I just remember having this chat with Luke McGee. I think, I'm gutted, and I'm not let a goal in the last minute like you. Of course, it's his fault, of course. But you can just tell positive, professional, moving forward. So yeah, he's a genuine nice guy, and I'm sure it'll be great when he can come on the pod next week, hopefully.
Yes. Oh, I cannot wait. Anyway, there's a lot of interesting stuff about Luke McGee, but we'll save that for the Luke McGee pod. So two quick questions here. And then we got to play the game. Then we got to get out of here. So first, we really appreciate every time we hear you drop the young Jake Young moniker out there. We love it. We're hoping you can pick up one more. Maybe our Cooley Bailey nickname, or maybe this is a nickname we didn't come up with. This is a nickname a self nickname from Dokes, the Nigerian Nightmare. Can we get the Nigerian Nightmare on his return?
Nigerian Nightmare would be amazing, wouldn't it? I always want to go vegan Endry, but I just don't think that's enough professional enough. But that, obviously, I'd love the vegan to get in there as well. But no, I think
Nigerian Nightmare.
Yeah. So obviously he was on the bench on Saturday, wasn't he? And Dokes. Yeah. So hopefully he'll be in again soon and get the Nigerian Nightmare in. But no, I'm not trying to stop myself saying it now. If I'm saying it a bit too young, not the young Jake Young. He's getting old.
Hey, he's forever young in our hearts. Last request here. Last request. When Dom scores, Dom Bernard someday, we predict a hat trick for every game. It hasn't happened yet. He's never actually scored a professional goal. But when he scores, can we get you to say, cover me in molasses, Dom Bernard has scored on the air?
Yeah, I'll try. Even when that comes.
Let's go! We'll take that as well. Don't you know Don Bernard has scored? I love that.
I've got my Don Bernard tribute on today as well.
Hey, the salmon shorts! I said at the beginning, the Sultan of Salmon Shorts. By the way, okay, I said that was the last question. This is really the last question. Do you still rock the shorts every game, the good luck shorts?
No, I can't at the moment. Obviously, I think when was it? Carlisle, I did, but there's a real cold game. The most recent one, I think it might be. I can't remember when it was. But obviously, winter's coming in, and it's not nice that Forest Green lost. But obviously, there was a stage when I warned them, and they weren't losing. I thought, oh God, how am I going to wear these shorts? So they obviously lost against Port Vale and Brentford, which means I don't have to officially wear them anymore because they're not. I haven't got the lucky charm. But I still try and wear them as much possible. But honestly, you guys will know. When you get to the new lawn, it's a few degrees colder than anywhere else, and it is a little white. So, professionally, unless you want to hear me chittering away and shaking,
I love it.
Degree of difficulty. Okay. We want to see where the rock the salmon shorts on top of some pants. That's the
there we go. Right? Yes,
yeah, it's undergarments maybe.
I love it. Okay, so we can't let you go. We would be irresponsible as friends, as your friend Billy Hunt, if we didn't help prepare you. For your return back, you've been off for three games. Well, you will have been off for three games after Orient. We got to prepare you for your return back. So here we go. We are going to we're going to show you some videos here. We want you to do some live quick action commentating. You haven't seen these beforehand. This might be tough because I feel like you got to get in the flow. But anyway, so we're going to show you some live action first, some FIFA glitches, and then we'll follow it up with another type of football on ice, hockey. All right, so are you ready? So we're just going to show the video. Let me share my screen. We're going to show the video. Uh-oh, wrong thing. Stop sharing. I shared the wrong thing. Here we go. Where is it? Here it is. All right, here we go. You see the video here? We'll start with this one. All right, get set up. So you're going to commentate this. And let me get some background music going so it sounds like we're actually in the stadium. Let me turn it down, though. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right, so we got the background. You ready to commentate?
Ready. So.
Oh, wait, not this, actually. Oh, that's not the one I wanted.
The keeper's hands, his ball. And someone out there has had some huge, like a kangaroo, just went 10 yards into the air. And out of nowhere, the keeper bowled it out. And just jumped for miles.
Crap, that was the wrong one. Sorry, wait, here we go. This is anyway, we'll take it. That was perfect. Here we go, this is the one.
So again, here comes the corner now. Head goes in, it goes just wide of the post. Who knows what happens there? But now there seems to be a 20-man ball in the goal area. Oh, the team seems to be having a little party in the goal mouth. No one knows what's going on. The header went wide, but the players are still dancing there. And here comes the counter-attack. Now the shot goes in, and it's hit the back of the net. There's 12 players, it seems to be, inside the penalty area, inside the goal. And yet the striker just hammered it home past with an amazing finish. You don't see too much of that. First class football, but that was a fantastic goal following from that corner miss.
Oh, I love it. All right, here we go. Oh crap, it got messed up. Here we go. We're gonna move to hockey, which is soccer on ice. You ready, Billy?
Yeah, I don't know anything about hockey, but
all right, here we go.
So here we go down. Here comes the player on the right-hand side. He's twisting and turning with the puck, going towards the goal, and it's gone in the back of the net. I don't know how a ball can go in such a big keeper then, but the ball's hit the back of the net. The puck's hit the back of the net. All giving a big of a hug. They're not happy with that, the keeper. He's saying, I'm so big. How did the puck get underneath me? I don't know how it happens. But the puck's gone, just been beaten on his nose, going through the side of the netting there. The lineman didn't do his half-time check. He hit the hole in the net, and the keeper did side taking up the whole goal rep. How did that go in? And the referees looked at VAR, looked at the TV monitor, and supposedly getting the right decision. But that's, you always laugh at lines when they go and have a little tug on the net before the start of each half. Including professional hockey.
Oh, I love it. All right, here we go. Again. Next one.
Again, there's a few people playing with the puck on some ice for some reason. They pass it back to the guy good to the left-hand side. Don't know why it's such a great sport, this. No one seems to like it in England. It's a long-range shot, and... Who knows? I'm a squid. Standing up on the pitch. Who knows what that surface was? Maybe it's come up underneath the ice or some bizarre fan protest. But out of nowhere, the ref is going to rightly stop. And here comes, there's not too much. You know, the shovel guy, the shovel in the bin guy in professional hockey don't get utilized that much. They've really, really made the most of the opportunity now to come in, keep the squid up.
All right, two more really quick. Here we go.
Back to NFL. We're looking at the bench now, and someone seems to be blow drying his horse. It's like a creme brulee trying to caramelize his helmet. It's a bit sweetened up. Well, it's so cold there. I don't know why they play again. Playing on ice, you're going to need to win up once in a while, but he's got his little blowtorch out just to get that sugar real caramelized on his helmet, so you can have a little taste of it during the past. He wants to get some great play, but bizarre scenes here.
You're so good. All right, here we go. Last one. Here we go, Billy. This is perfect. Last one.
Referee's ready to put the puck down. That's why he's got one hand in the air. Both players eyeing each other up. Still no puck gone down. Referee's looking to each player as they're separating them. Looks like they're going to headbutt. And there goes the puck, and they immediately just start fighting out of nowhere. taking their gloves off, taking the helmet. That was preempted. As soon as they can have an open, everywhere doing it. There's fights all over the place. You talk about argy-bargy in League 2, but this is something else. Just huge.
There it is.
There's another one as well. Three fights. The referee's lost complete control here. It's turned away from ice hockey and just really is to heavyweight boxing. And the fans, they've got their money as well today. They're just watching two or three sports at once.
Oh, I love it. Billy!
Brilliant.
You are a pro, Billy. That was incredible, incredible stuff. Oh my goodness. Well, Billy, we gotta let you go there because Sean and I gotta get to work. Billy, man, this was awesome. Always a pleasure to catch up.
Yeah, I don't want to say one. Obviously, I love talking to you guys. I know people talk a lot about my dad. Obviously, my dad's a bit poor at the moment. He's not being able to get to watch four games, but. He would love you guys. Obviously, I know you weren't listening too much when my dad was around, but you know, just to like make a laugh out of the Forest Green is exactly what I like about as well. He enjoys just, you know, you not taking yourself too seriously, trying to find the fun in life and the fun in football is exactly, I think, what Forest Green, especially my dad, but I know Forest Green fans as well, and he would really enjoy your podcast. So yeah, it's really, really nice talking to you. And I know, I'm glad it's going so well. It's so much fun just to be part of and listen, of course, as well.
Oh, Billy, that means, man, so much to hear that. So that's awesome. Yeah. Like your dad's such an inspiration, like with keeping it light and everything, and just wish him the best.
Just don't take life too seriously, can you, in life? And obviously just make the most of it. Treat every day as it could be your last. One day it'll be true. And obviously it's, I think you guys really make the most of that. So it's really, really enjoyable.
Billy, man, that means a lot. Yeah. I really appreciate that, Billy, man. Man.
Yeah, Nathan, you had the fake philosophy at the beginning, but I think Billy wins the day with the actual philosophy for life at the end. Thank you, Billy. That was awesome.
Oh, 100%. Billy, you're the man. We appreciate you. And oh my God, we cannot wait for you to get back on the mic this Saturday. Salford, baby.
Yeah, and I know I know you look at your climate change and all that, but if you can make that little, you know, few thousand round trip for Corinthian Casuals, I'll see you there as well.
Yes!
Hey, it might have to happen now.
It might have to happen, even though it is antithetical. Even though it's antithetical to everything Forest Green River stands for. but we will be there this season, Billy, and we look forward to meeting you in person finally.
Yeah.
Then, hopefully, really February and April, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. Have an English proper lager instead of an American ones.
Yes. Oh, of course. Yes. Of course. We have to do that. Well, nice, warm English lager. All right. Billy Hunt, man. Thank you so much. We're going to chat with you again later this season.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thanks, Billy. Cheers.
After what we just put you through. All right. Cheers, Billy. Billy Hunt. Oh, Billy is the man. Very funny. Very smart. Great.
Yeah, always game. What's that, always game. Just love that about Billy. Just always game to have fun and come on. And at the same time, he's such a polished professional. It's like, how do those two things exist in one person? But he pulls it off. We can't do that. We can't do it.
No, we definitely can't. It's a lethal mix, and that's why we love Billy, because you're right. He's just down for whatever stupid idea we have. He's like, yeah, no problem. Let's go. And then I just play him, you know, videos of squids on an ice hockey rink, and he just goes with it. He's amazing. So anyway,
which, by the way, I'm a little bit peeved by that, because I got to shout out Michigan, Detroit Red Wings.
That's true.
Revolutionized the game way back in the 90s, throwing octopi, right? Is that how the proper plural? Octopi.
That was octopi.
Throwing them on the ice.
Not very vegan friendly. Anyway. But shout out to Billy, and I love what he said at the end about just like, don't take life too seriously, don't take yourself too seriously, live every day like it's your last, because someday it's gonna be brilliant. Like you said, he's funny, he's always down to be silly, but he also is like, you know, a deep human being, and a professional.
It comes through. It comes through. All of that. Yeah.
Much love to Billy, man. We gotta have him back on. I love to chat with Billy. All right, Shimmy, we gotta wrap this thing up like in 2 minutes or less. So, really quick, super quick, we got Leighton Orient tomorrow or tonight, depending on where you're listening, or yesterday or whatever, Tuesday night. Leighton Orient,
tomorrow's future's
away
past.
On the road. They are a decent team. They are currently seventh in the table at the time of this recording, but they're not on a super great run of form. They've drawn the last two, lost, and then draw right before that. Average defense, average offense, average on the attack. But anyway, a good side, but we're going to win, Shimmy. You already know I'm going 3-0, yeah. Dom Bernard hat trick. What do you got, Shimmy?
Of course. Yeah, I'm going to say 2-0. I mean, Drippy Dom's going to get on the scoreboard, of course. But yes. I want to see Maddie Stevens find the back of the goal again. Maddie Stevens is going to score, I think.
And we got to wrap this up in like 45 seconds. But also, if Dom scores, Billy Hunt committed to saying, cover me in molasses. Dom Bernard scored, don't you know? Anyway, all right, we got to finish up. Salford on Saturday. We got Salford City on Saturday. Salford have been up and down, inconsistent. They are right now in the mid-table, but overall they haven't been great. XGs show them about where they are in the table, so it seems like they're about where they should be. Not great on the attack, decent on defense. Anyway, well, I got to shut up because we got to go. I got to go like right now. Here we go. Here's my prediction.
Yeah.
Can you take a guess? I'll tell you. 3-0, Dom Bernard hat trick. What do you got, Jimmy?
Now, I'm gonna agree with you this time, because that's Billy Hunt's return to the booth, and we got to get that sweet molasses.
Let's go! All right, now I got to be quiet, and we got to wrap this up, because my wife is on a really important work call. So that's why I said I had to be off right now. But let's close out here, Shimmy.
You know what we got to do?
And you don't... Wait.
We got to
First, we got to say... let's close out there, Shimmy. What did we say that? Up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR.
Here we go. And you know we gotta.
You know we gotta.
Raise hell. Praise Dale. Praise his name, yes. Brother. Dale, yeah.
Bye, everybody. Right. Bye. See,
thank you. Thank you for listening, everybody. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you. I gotta shut up. All right. Bye, everyone.
And we're done.
Perfect timing.
Oh, that was ridiculous. I think we're in a silly, not a, we're in a silly Billy mood.
And I should be quiet because she's on the call. It's all whisper.
Okay. Yeah, we were.
Remember that stupid song, the whisper song?
Yeah.
From who was that? The Ying Yang.
The Ying Yang.
Yeah,
twins, yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, bitch. We're not recording.
No, we're not recording.
They used that really well in Eastbound and Down, though.
Oh yeah!
Some scene
oh, I do. Yeah. Such a stupid song.
Whisper song.
Oh wait, we're
maybe that could be the FGR version instead of that. They could Mobot could sing it and be like, "Where do you see my bitch? Hey, bitch.
Jimmy,
where do you Jimmy. See my something?" Yeah.
We gotta work that into a Kip Kowalski.
We will at some point.
All right, I gotta stop recording now.
Yeah, please do. Please stop recording.